Thanks for listening to D-Mac and I on the Drive. Derek Wolf here for Great Range Premium Bison, my choice for sustainable, delicious, and healthy meat. It's available at local grocery and club stores, or you can order online at Amazon.com. Learn more at GreatRangeBison.com.
Leading off with a big story of the day, here's The Drive with Super Bowl 50 champion Derek Wolf and D-Mac.
Nuggets tonight as they play in Milwaukee after a nice little win yesterday. That's a cool win. I know they were up by a lot and then let New Orleans get close, but who cares? They won. That's all you care about, especially on the road. But tonight on the injury report is, everybody. Jokic, questionable hamstring. Jamal, questionable left knee. Played 40 minutes last night. KCP, right wrist sprain. Ouch. I didn't know that. KCP. Bones Highland, questionable left finger sprain and, with Bones. MPJ, questionable because of the personal reasons with his brother. Holy cow. Dude, that is, what do we got?
That's a lot of guys.
Four starters are questionable right now. And essentially, Bones, your sixth man-ish, is questionable as well. So five of your top seven guys are questionable to even play tonight.
Bones is questionable?
Yeah. Finger. Quotes. Can you hear my air quotes? Finger.
Put that finger up on the trade block and cut it off.
Finger. His finger. His finger hurts. So I don't know with Bones. I love Bones, though.
I'm a fan.
What was that, KJ? We're cutting off Bones' finger?
That's what D-Mac said. Put it on the trading block.
That's a little harsh. Meanwhile, the Avalanche, that was pretty funny last night. So the game's over, and Bednar sets his record for basically being the best coach ever. 500 games, has the most wins ever in the entire Nordiques Avalanche history. He's got it. Way to go. So it's like, you won the game, man. Is everything good?
I don't know. I'm glad it's here and gone so we can stop talking about it. Really, to be honest with you, we didn't play our best game tonight. I'm happy that we were able to get the 2 points to put us up the standings again. You know, that's our focus. And tonight, I think the main reason we got that was because Gorgi was excellent in goal. He was our best player for sure.
By the way, he calls him Gorgi, not Georgie. Gorgi. So should we be calling him Gorgi, not Georgie?
Gorgiev?
It's pronounced, I think,
Gorgiev?
It's Georgiev.
Georgiev. I think it's Georgiev. Mm-hmm. But he's calling him Gorgi, not Georgie.
Gorgi.
I wonder, is that what he goes by?
Gorgi.
Maybe.
I've just heard all the Muggles just say Georgie. I have not heard one person call him Gorgi.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
He's a good dude, man. He's a real chill dude. He's easy to talk to. His English is amazing. He's absolute fluent English. Young guy. Very impressive. So I'm a fan, and I'm glad he's doing good. I'm glad he's doing well.
It doesn't matter what your name is!
Well, I mean, let's not be mean to the dude. I mean, he's winning games left and right for the Avalanche. They've won six in a row now, man. They have two more games before the All-Star break.
Yeah, you're pooping on him.
They were 1-6-1. They needed to strain things out. They lost to Chicago. They had a team meeting that kind of extended to practice.
Flush the turds.
They went to 11-7, so they changed their entire lineup, how they ran things. They started Frankie for three straight games, which they haven't really done. Gave Gorgi a mental health break. And now they come back with Gorgi. They're scoring goals. They're winning games they shouldn't. Hey, it's good. It's a positive thing. So
that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I told you that that team meeting was going to be big. They had to do a little soul searching, look at themselves in a mirror.
Packed house again tonight. It's Tuesday night. It's like 19,000 or so people for a Tuesday night. It's just like
this city gets up for the Avs, man. They really do.
You know what, man? A crazy amount of Washington Capitals fans there.
I'm not surprised.
I mean, a crazy amount.
I'm not surprised. I think that you probably saw a lot of Ovechkin jerseys.
He's their best player. So
I think there's a lot of Ovi fans out there.
And they had this is interesting. So there's two players on the Capitals that were players for the Avalanche. Darcy Kemper, who was your starting goalie.
Yeah.
And Nicholas Aubé-Kubel, who was like a role player. You know, he's in, he's out, whatever. They did a tribute video, but they didn't give them separate videos. They just combined one video.
They didn't have time.
You got 2.5 hours, man. You got time if you want to.
It's like, well, whose do we do first?
Wow, they just did it.
You did the starter first.
I just thought it was funny that one guy had a way more value than the other guy, and they just combo meal.
Lazy.
But Kemper actually said after the game he was nervous. It was a strange feeling. Like he was emotional about it.
Yeah,
like,
why wouldn't he be? He just won a championship.
Yeah, and I don't think he wanted to go anywhere. I think that's a tough deal as a pro athlete. I think that's the toughest of all deals when you win a championship for a team and they tell you, we don't need you.
And then the crowd is chanting Gorgie's name. I mean.
Right, they were saying Georgie. But yes. Yeah, so you're Kemper. You lose the game. They're chanting the other dude's name. It's like.
Fall from grace, man.
Dude, it goes fast as an athlete, doesn't it?
It does.
And just, you thought we were brothers for life. Here we are. We're around the cup. We're getting hammered with Bedsy. We're drinking off fire trucks. Hey, you're gone. Pack your shizzle.
Next thing you know, your buds are just slinging pucks at you.
Next thing you know, your pals are slinging pucks at you. I asked Alex Newhook, who scored a pretty sweet goal, like, is it easier? Because you know the guy. And he goes, I don't know. He knows me, too. So he was nice about it. You know, they're not going to trash their buddy. They love him.
Yeah.
But then you just move on, man, and that is the trickiest thing, dude.
Every year is a new season.
You move on, and you just can only be so loyal.
Mm-hmm.
At DenverSports.com, I wrote an open letter to Greg Penner based off of the Zoakley show saying about Harbaugh, and that's the one thing about Harbaugh. The one thing I like the most about Harbaugh, Derek, I think that mofo is ruthless in terms of winning.
Do what is best for the team to put the team in the best position to win.
I think Mike Shanahan was ruthless. Sadly, I think the best coaches are pretty ruthless.
Not always.
Give me an example.
McVay.
He's pretty freaking ruthless, dude. He got hammered in Cabo and got rid of Jared Goff.
I mean.
You know, that's the story. He's down there slamming shots with Sammy Hagar, and he comes across Matthew Stafford, and he's getting blitzed too, and like, you should come play with us. And he picks up the phone, slobbering all over himself to call Kroenke. Josh, Stan. Goff, let's get Stafford. I mean, that's
you got to get him out of there.
That's not quote for quote, but he did do that.
I mean, it was a great move.
I think it's a little ruthless. I think you have to be.
I think you got to be a little bit ruthless. I mean, Kubiak was even a little bit ruthless.
Kubiak was cold-hearted to Brock. That wasn't cold? Yanking Brock in the game?
You should never lose your spot because of injury. You should never lose your job over injury.
And Jim Harbaugh did that to Alex Smith.
Yep.
When Colin Kaepernick, you know, was playing well. And Alex Smith was a playoff-level quarterback for them.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. He was a great quarterback.
Coobs, ruthless. Ruthless. Coobs just kept Trevor Siemian in the game, was like, up yours, John Elway, with his Paxton Lynch guy.
Because he knew better.
You want to talk ruthless.
Maybe he was trying to do Paxton a favor.
Did you guys understand what the hell was going on in that game?
Not really. We didn't care. We were just like, this is awful.
Okay, well, that wasn't awful. You were kicking ass.
I know, but I'm talking about the quarterback situation.
All right, fine.
We just didn't care. We were like, whatever, okay. Like, you guys figure that out. Like,
you know what was quirky about that game I found out later? A lot of you guys did not know that Kubiak was out the door.
Because
the report came out that morning.
Yeah, we didn't know.
So I was told, that is amazing to me, that just amongst yourself, because the report came out in the morning. I mean, you easily could have heard about it from friends, family, social media, whatever, before the game. But it does tell you something that it's game day, you're so dialed in that you just don't concern yourself with anything but your own little personal routine.
No, you don't. You just focus on the game.
But Kubiak announced he was gone after the game, right?
I can't remember, honestly. Like I
forget how it happened. I forget what the story was. But at some point, Kubiak told the team.
I wish I could remember exactly how that went down, but I can't. Like, it's that's how insignificant it was. You know, it was like, oh, okay. Like, but I can remember when Brian Kelly told us he wasn't going to coach us in the Sugar Bowl like it was yesterday.
How was that?
That was awful. That was bad. He almost got murdered in there.
What do you mean? There was an uprising in the
room?
A whole
team full of criminals, brother. I mean,
go Bearcats.
You know who the most angry was? Jason Kelce.
Why?
Because he just was... It's like betrayal, man. Like, come on, dude. Like, you can't coach us in one more game? One more game. You couldn't work that deal out with Notre Dame. Notre Dame... And that's why I hate Notre Dame so much.
It's because of the recruiting stuff, dude.
Who cares? It's one game.
But the recruiting the recruiting thing is brutal. You got to get on the road. You got to start repping another
team.
You
committed to this team for that season.
When was the what game was it? Sugar Bowl?
Sugar Bowl against Florida.
Is that January 1st?
Yeah.
That's like 3 weeks. More? I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know when he told you guys.
Okay. Well, that's what happens when you go get a coach from another team.
That's what happens.
You have to wait. I think it's garbage.
Recruits don't wait. It's a cold-hearted business, man.
It is. That made me so angry.
But Kubiak, no, he's cold-hearted, man. He just told Paxton, you can just sit on the bench.
Just stay.
You're good. We're up 24-0. This is the third quarter. Nah, we're going with Trevor. You know what he said after the game? I wanted to win the game.
Yeah.
You're up 24-0.
Who cares? How many teams have you seen come back from that?
The game meant nothing. It was a glorified scrimmage.
Yeah, who cares?
You've got a first-round drafted quarterback.
Don't put on, and that tells you how bad he really was.
Oh no, it told us everything. In case we had any doubts. In case there was any doubts whatsoever.
But it's funny because, like, I didn't really listen to all the Muggles when I played. Like, I just didn't listen to it, you know? So, like, I didn't get to hear all this stuff. So, like, when you make an assumption, like, I know, a lot of times you got to remember, guys in that locker room aren't even paying attention to what's going on outside of the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't even know what people are saying.
They don't know the drama.
Yeah, they don't know.
What's going on inside here.
Yeah, like, that was so, like... undercover, behind the scenes, that we didn't even pay attention to.
Well, I'm sure because there were so many of you guys in 2016 who had won the Super Bowl. So I'm sure just the fact that you had to accept, because you lost to the Chiefs, unfortunately, on Christmas weekend, and you had to win that game. You had to win it, and you didn't. And that's it. That's a tough blow. We won the Super Bowl last year. Now we're not even in the playoffs.
Yeah, it was bad.
And, you know, you're 8-6.
And our defense just took a beating that whole year. Like, we were number one defense still, but we were all banged up, all of us.
It was a tough year. But
that was a quick turnaround in NFL history? So you play the team you just beat in the Super Bowl, then you got to play them again on basically no kind of break, really. Mm-hmm. No time to recover on a Thursday night. We played the Panthers on Thursday night that year, remember?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. You beat them. It was close.
It was a close game, yeah.
Yeah, it was a more competitive game.
Yeah.
Second time around, you still beat them. Beat the Ravens, too, second time around.
Yeah.
Which was great, but even though Peyton threw for 7 touchdowns, which was amazing, it still just felt like...
Why didn't we do that just a little, like, a couple months before?
It was like the most... I don't know how you felt about it, but as a fan, it was unsatisfying feeling of all time.
I mean, here's the thing. I felt I had to play in that game. Remember, I was paralyzed 2 weeks before that, mm-hmm. and I was like, I'm playing in this game no matter what. So there was a definite, like... We can't let them come in here and get over on us again.
And you
but
didn't.
Then it's like it doesn't mean anything right now.
Right. And then you're like, well, that's game one.
Yeah, it was kinda like we did that and then it was like, they still have a Super Bowl ring that should have been ours.
It's like eating like a big hot dog or something that you shouldn't eat. It felt good at the time, and then afterwards you're just like
the glizzy?
Well, I don't know.
KJ, is he talking about the glizzy?
What's your favorite? What's
talking about woofing down a glizzy?
What's your 3-1 right there?
What's your favorite stupid food to eat?
Like a whole large pizza.
All right, fine.
Big greasy pizza.
Big greasy pizza. Thank you.
It's like, this is going to be so good. And then afterwards, you just feel like,
why did I do that? It wasn't worth it. It's no big deal.
I'm going to be backed up for a week.
So it comes out yesterday, and that's what I realized, this whole thing, like, I heard Mike and Mark, they're bombing on David Shaw. I think David Shaw would be fine. D'Amico Ryans, I don't know, he probably would be fine. But there was part
D'Amico
of me...
D'Amico Ryans could bring some of that culture from San Fran over. You
I
know?
Got no it's, problems with that. And I'm going to support whoever they decide to hire.
But then again, do we want a first-time head coach, really? Do we really want that again? Are we going to really make the same mistake?
What do you think the biggest mistakes are by first-time head coaches? Because obviously,
Being a coordinator is, I don't understand why is being a coordinator qualify you to lead the entire team? Why does that, like, I hate that kind of about the league. Like, the best head coach should be the one that is able to relate and manage men. Relate to and manage the men and keep them into the culture. Keep them bought in. You got to keep them bought in the whole time. Got to buy into all the little slogans and all the, you know what I mean? Like, That's what you want. Like, you don't hire Vic Fangio who comes in here and says, keep pounding. Hey, bud, that was the Panthers saying, and we pounded them. They got pounded. So that's not, don't bring that here.
You know what he said to Elway to convince him was death by inches.
Yeah.
Elway loved the cliches.
Oh, he loved it. He loved it. He's like, he doesn't believe in science. I love it.
Love it. Analytics, who cares?
Numbers, what does that mean?
Science, death by inches.
Those are for nerds.
Yeah, screw that nerd stuff. We're going to play hard-nosed football.
No days off.
No days off.
No rest.
Death by inches.
That's nerd stuff.
Yeah. What, we lost again?
What's our record?
What happened? 22 Janos. What, he's only 6'2"?
Vaughn's not that great.
What happened? We lost again? Hey, now you look at the Fangio era and you're like, hey, at least you won some games.
Yeah.
I mean, you won one more than we've been used to.
Hey, I was playing great football under Fangio, honestly. So.
Or some moments.
In spite of him, mostly. I could not stand him.
Well, you went through the second year of VJ, which was the 8-game losing streak, losing by a million to Philadelphia. I mean,
that was the most that might be one of the most embarrassed I've ever been in my life.
And that's a culture problem, man. And what happened to the Broncos? You know, what happened? And so to me, still,
you got rid of you cleaned house on all of the Super Bowl players. All of the Super Bowl championship players are cleaned, except for one.
And you made things, in my estimation, this was what I wrote about, and you can read it at denversports.com. You made things just ridiculously too comfortable. There's no sense of competition. There's nothing uncomfortable about being out there. There's nobody, you know, grinding away. Like, there's nobody challenging anybody for a spot.
My whole time in the league, like when the draft came around, I was like, don't draft an defensive lineman. And what'd they do every year? Drafted a defensive lineman.
Probably just as
good because they're always trying. It was good for me. It pushed me. That competition is good for you.
I mean, if you're not the best, why should you be out there?
Exactly.
It should be easy for you to beat back that competition. Yep. Whatever. I get it. You signed up for it.
Welcome it.
I think that crap happens probably varsity high school. If you're at a pretty serious high school. You know, it starts getting like that.
I mean, it was like that in Little League football for us. I mean, it was the best player was playing.
Little League football?
Yeah. I told you, I played for a lot of different teams, and I had to take somebody's job or somebody's spot, you know, their job, their spot.
Is that because you were in so many schools? Because,
Yeah, that's on you. Bad joke. Sorry. But yeah, it was because I had to go to so many schools and played for a lot of teams, and now I played middle linebacker and running back.
You were always somebody's worst nightmare.
So when I walked in there, and it was like, oh no,
it probably made the teams better.
I came in there in my underwear to weigh in with a birth certificate.
You know, it's so fascinating, man, because my younger son's playing college sports right now, and you know, there's a lot of things that. I'm closing my eyes because he does little things that drive you nuts, okay? But at some point, if you're a coach, even if he's driving you nuts, don't you just got to play the best player?
Yes.
Even if he just drives you nuts?
Yes. The best player should play.
And so if Russell Wilson ain't the best player on a particular day, and yeah, I used ain't.
Okay, see, that's where it's a little bit fishy.
Why?
Because we're talking about the quarterback position. All right. The best player has got to play. Some people have bad games, right? He had a whole season that was bad. He finished it off decent. The last game, the last two games. He played 6 good quarters, I thought. So to me, if he doesn't come out firing on all cylinders, it's time to, we got to start looking. Like, first 4 games, if he's not on a roll.
But don't you think if you challenged him and you put a competitive situation,
yes, in front of him, it would thrive. It makes you listen. Great competitors thrive in that.
And who
that will put the heat on him a little
and
bit.
And who would be better than Jim Harbaugh to do that?
That's I can't think of a guy. And that's because it could be one of these other guys, but I don't know them enough, and they don't have that resume of doing that kind of thing.
And that's
we have history that shows him doing that.
And that would be my first question to whoever. If it's not, listen, if it's Harbaugh, I don't have to ask him that question. If it's Harbaugh, you just know. Look at his past history, you just know.
But here's the question I have for you. Do you think with Alex Smith they win that Super Bowl? You got to remember how good their defense was.
I was there at that game. I think Jimmy Smith got away with pass interference twice in a row.
Yeah.
So I'll say no. Good for Jimmy Smith. I mean, you don't want to get beat. I mean, you'd rather roll the dice with a penalty than just flat out. If you're beat, you're beat. You know, so good for Jimmy. See you. Go Buffs.
Great dude. What great teammate too.
Big tall corner, you know, got a ring.
Yeah.
Good for him.
He was still in Baltimore.
I'll say no. I think Kaepernick that particular year, and even in that game, was doing enough to actually win the game. I'll say no on that. Okay. He played all right.
No, I wouldn't disagree with that.
I'll tell you what was weird about that game. It was the power outage.
Yeah, that was
crazy. It was just, first of all, I mean,
it was all part of the script. It's all scripted.
Beyonce's halftime show, a power outage in an old stadium was part of the script?
All scripted, dude. All of it. The whole thing.
Why? Because of Ray Lewis?
Yeah.
It was the Ray Lewis conspiracy theory.
Yes. And then we won one because of the Peyton Manning conspiracy. We were allowed to do anything we wanted to quarterbacks.
The league had had enough of Tom Brady?
They just assaulted him.
They had enough?
Yeah, they're like, no more Tom Brady. And he still almost beat us.
Hey, speaking of Tom Brady, when we come back, this is hysterical. You know how Charles Barkley said he was misquoted in his own autobiography? Tom Brady was confronted on his own podcast. Tom Brady on his own podcast went off. You'll hear it coming up next.
Okay.
What's up, guys? Derek Wolf here. If you're trying to plan out your holiday feast this year, I've got the plan for you. Bison meat. For my friends at Great Range Premium Bison. Bison meat will add a unique flavor to everything from your holiday meals to your tailgate chili, and it's healthier than other red meats too. It's flavorful, clean, and hearty, with some nice, sweet-tasting undertones. I'm telling you guys, once you try it, you'll be hooked. Plus, you can check out tons of awesome recipes at greatrangebison.com. So pick some up today at your local grocery store. Trust me, you'll love the taste of Great Range Premium Bison this holiday season.
You're listening to The Drive with Super Bowl 50 champion Derek Wolf and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
On the text line, the wrong first-time head coach is a mistake. The right first-time head coach is not. The trick is to know the difference. That applies when hiring a CEO. Yeah, I think a lot of people around here, our guy Mike Evans, thinks some. Maybe you too. I think a lot of people are freaked out by the first-time head coach thing. I mean, I get it. I mean, I understand it. But you got to get your start somewhere. And to think that these are the same people, though, that, like the Jets. Should the Jets still, if they've got a high draft pick, draft a quarterback? It hasn't worked with Sam Darnold. It hasn't worked with, Zach Wilson. Well, what, now you don't ever draft a young quarterback ever again if you're the Jets because it happens twice?
Yeah, but it happens a lot. They just missed twice, you know? Like, is it the same GM that missed twice?
Listen, my guy's Jim Harbaugh.
Who are the scouts? Who are the ones doing all the... Who's in his ear? Who's in that GM's ear telling him this is the guy? I'm telling you, people get caught up in what everybody else is saying instead of doing their own homework.
I want Harbaugh. I want to circle around. I wrote about it at denversports.com. I want Harbaugh. But, if it's not Harbaugh and the right guy is D'Amico Ryans, okay, you can make it work. It's not a death sentence.
I don't think so. I think he could bring some of that culture.
But it's, yeah, listen, there's a lot of failure.
But I don't
know
anything about him as a coach, you know? Like, what kind of coach is he? I could talk to Christian.
Christian
McCaffrey.
You're close to Christian?
Yeah.
No kidding. How did you guys become friends?
Just training at Lawrence when he was in college. And I knew him in high school. So.
Really?
Yeah.
How'd you make that connection?
Just because we worked out at the same time.
Oh, okay,
so
yeah.
We'd be in there together training, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that is a wild, wild part. My son worked out there a few times. That's a trip.
Yeah, it's fun.
Like, you're in there, and it's like, well, that guy's in, I remember that guy from college. Well, that guy's in the NFL.
Well, that's Missy Franklin.
Right, there's Missy. And the
there's
joint.
There's the middleweight UFC champ and the lightweight champ over there.
Yeah, and his joint was small.
Yeah, it was real small.
It's not that big.
Now it's big.
Is it really? Okay. Yeah. Wasn't it off, like, Jordan or something?
It was right off of Dry Creek.
Okay, that's
now
a different place.
Yeah, the first place was like a garage. The second place was, when I first started training with him, was real small over here.
That's what I'm thinking.
In DTC.
Yeah.
Off of Dry Creek.
Off of Dry Creek. Okay, yeah.
I'm talking about you take Dry Creek, yeah. And then you take a right there, and it's back in there. It's just a bunch of dentist offices and stuff.
Yes, it's in a very nondescript sort of place.
And then next thing you know, there's elite, like the world's best athletes are training.
Yeah, it's a wild scene.
Yeah, and then, I mean, no recovery tubs, nothing in there. Like, it's just crazy because most places I go to train, they got all kinds of stuff. But then now he's moved to another place.
Is he going
to
survive this?
Oh,
probably not.
I don't know. Does he really? I'm gonna talk. I need to talk to him soon because I want to. Do you really want to do this? Keep doing this? Like,
I don't know.
You have a good thing going.
I know he wanted to. Like, it was a big goal of his to do it. And
he doesn't like to lose.
When Luke Richardson got it, like, he liked Luke. He had nothing but respect for Luke. So it was like, all right, you know, if I gotta lose the job, whatever. Do you know the whole story behind how he got the job?
Who, Luke?
No, of Lauren.
I mean, I know Elway called me and asked me.
Okay. Vic had no idea who he was or whatever.
And didn't care.
He didn't care.
No. Coach, what? I don't care.
He was just
There's just weights in there. Like, you can lift them.
He was told who the guys go to, and he was like, okay, that was it.
Well, yeah, but Elway called. Elway did call me and asked me about him. And was like, what do you think? And I was like, yeah, that's the guy. Like, I played my best football training with him. So.
And that got back to Vic. Like, Vic didn't do anything. Vic didn't know. Vic didn't really, he didn't really care.
The problem is that you'd now have a coach that doesn't, like, give his players any kind of break. So the strength coach really can't do much. Not much he can do there. Because when you come in there, you got to do nothing but, like, recovery lifts. So you're not getting stronger and getting faster during the season. You're just like, trying to hang in there.
He probably doesn't make it. I mean, I don't think many guys do make it. I think it's going to be just this crazy overhaul. I hope he does if he wants it. I think I'm a big fan, but man, people have been giving him a hard time about the hamstrings and all that. And I'd say it's more of a culture of what the coach was putting the guys through, not what Lauren was doing. But, you know, I'm buddies with Lauren, so I'm biased. So
yeah, me too.
So I should just put that out there. Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah.
He's got his own podcast. It's hosted by Jim Gray, and I think, who else is on it? I think Larry Fitzgerald may be on it. But it's Tom Brady's podcast. It's his. He's not a guest on somebody's. It's his podcast. Now, Jim Gray has said they were just joking around about this interaction. So I want to play it for you, and you tell me if they're joking around or they're serious. Here we go.
Jim, if I knew what I was going to fucking do, I'd have already fucking done it. Okay? I'm taking it a day at a time.
I sense you're antagonized by the question.
You're scratching.
It's only the question scratchy. That everybody wants to hear.
You're scratchy. I appreciate your asking. Thank you.
The question was, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Why is he mad
future?
About that? Why is Tom Brady mad about that question? Like, wait, what else did you think they were going to ask you?
Well, Jim Gray says it was, they were just joking. This is how they horse around. You tell me.
Jim, if I knew what I was going to fucking do, I'd have already fucking done it. Okay? I'm taking it a day at a time.
Is that joking around?
Yeah, because you can hear him kind of laughing. Like, he's faking being serious. You can tell.
I just find it that's funny that it's on his own podcast.
Yeah.
Like, it's his podcast.
Well, look what it's done. It's going to drive traffic. I mean, that's what you want.
Why is Tom Brady even doing a podcast?
Why not?
Why?
Why not?
You could why not everything, but I mean, why? What is the reason?
Because he wants to. Because he can. He can do whatever he wants.
No kidding.
Tom Brady.
He's just going to get things off his chest?
Somebody was like, hey, Tom, we're going to give you a bunch of money to do this podcast. We're going to do everything for you. It's 30 minutes a week or something.
Listen, I know why I work. I know why I do things. I
don't know why
it.
I work.
You're a more complicated question.
Jim, if I knew what I was going to fucking do, I'd have already fucking done it.
Okay.
I can't wait to have a podcast so I can just cuss.
Is that the dream?
Yeah, that's the dream.
The phone number is 303-713-1043. Hey, if you think maybe they weren't just joking around, I get it.
I think they were.
You know what?
Didn't sound like.
Listen, I'll tell you this. If that's Tom Brady just screwing around, he's a pretty cool dude. That's funny.
I've never heard a teammate of his say anything bad about him ever.
I mean, it's funny.
I mean, when you play for 23 years and not one guy has something bad to say about you, that's pretty
good. That's
pretty good.
Having a I don't give an F sort of attitude, which is cool.
Yeah. If I knew, I would have already done it.
That's funny. I'll tell you that. I'm not being critical of Tom Brady here because I think it's funny. I think you put Jim Gray in a tough spot.
Jim, if I knew what I was going to fucking do, I'd have already fucking done it. Okay? I'm taking a day.
You hear he's laughing, you know?
I sense you're antagonized by the question.
All right, it's a funny mode. Where do you think Tom Brady does play next year?
Or does he?
I don't know. Listen, I think
he's going to try to make it to 25.
I saw a super scumbag thing yesterday.
On who?
By a loser scumbag. And so Tom Brady was like, he's checking his kids into some sort of school. Like, he's checking in on them or whatever. He's like at the office. And it's Tom Brady. It's in like some place in Miami. And there's this jerk filming him. You know, got his phone out, filming Tom Brady. And, you know, said something about you coming to the Dolphins or something and posted it online. So there's Tom Brady. Like, you want to talk about an a-hole move. When you come across a celebrity or somebody.
It's just invasive, man.
Obviously, in a role as a parent.
I can't even imagine how much he deals with, how much of that. Just being around Peyton, right? Like, I'll tell you a story. We're at the funeral for Ronnie.
Mm-hmm.
Go up to the pair of respects on our way out the building. As we're walking out, round the corner right after the casket, somebody asked Peyton for an autograph.
Yeah, what are you doing?
It's like...
What'd he do?
He just kept it moving.
Okay, like, good for him.
Just keep it moving, you know?
Good for him.
But it's like, I don't know, like, I'm there, and I'm like, I feel like I gotta, like, push him out of here. Like, let's just get out of here, you know?
I'm sure you do feel protective of him.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Because it's a pain in the neck, man. He's just wanting to be, you know, especially in a scene like that. Listen, there are times where you put yourself out there, okay?
Yeah.
Like, he took his son, Marshall, to a couple of playoff games over the weekend. All right.
Yeah.
You know, okay.
And look how he interacts. He interacts
sure.
with the people. He does what he has to do.
But it's if he goes to his kid's school...
That's not the place.
Off limits, man.
It's not the place.
And frankly, like, if you're eating, leave people alone.
They're using the restroom.
Oh, that's the worst.
The worst when people try to talk to you.
How about when they try to shake your hand?
Oh, it's like, I didn't wash my hands yet, bud.
Hey, dude.
But whatever.
Really, you're going to have a moment like that?
I don't know. That's like the spot, though. Like, you'll have a guy come into a bathroom, and you'll do your thing, and then you go over and start washing your hands, and then he comes over and goes, Derek Wolfe, right? Be like, yeah, man, like, what?
You got me. Here I am.
But I always, like, say something silly, you know, just make it funny.
All right, we have a...
So you want, when people meet you, you want them to have a good interaction. That's just the way it
all
goes.
All the time. Always. Always. And the vast majority of the time is cool. I just saw Tom Brady, I think, being harassed at his kid's school.
That is harassment. I mean, it is harassment.
I thought that was ridiculous. That's all. So to answer your question, I think Tom Brady does play next year. I think he's in great shape.
I think he probably will, too.
I think he loves it. I think he loves the competitive spirit of it. And he, frankly, if he's doing a podcast, there may be some empty spaces in his life that he doesn't know how else to fill but play football.
Well,
so,
or he's doing some media training. It's training for him.
Maybe.
To get ready for this. Because he's got that, what is it, the CBS job?
Yeah, but I question like why he would ever want to do that, too.
Because he has to do something.
You got to do something.
He's got to do something.
Right. He's trying to figure that out.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing, man. Like, people always say, oh, you get to retire and you just do nothing. That is boring. My life got so much more busy. Like, my schedule is from 5 a.m. until 7, 8 p.m. is just nonstop. And it wasn't always like that. It was like I played football and then everything else is like taking a back seat. But now it's like I got time for all this stuff. So it's like you're doing everything.
Yeah, and you'll figure it out. You'll filter it out. But it's better than sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah.
That's for damn sure.
Listen, when you stop using your brain, you stop using your body, that's when you start getting old and that's when you start dying.
Yeah, and I think Tommy is just going to keep going, man. Why not?
Why not?
You know, I mean, is it hurting his legacy?
I don't think
so. It doesn't look great, but I mean, who cares? You know, it's his life.
I wouldn't be surprised if he finds a way to get into another Super Bowl somehow. I don't know if he'll win another
one. What team would be set up that way?
I don't even like saying this, but I don't want to say Super Bowl, but I will say into the playoffs again, into a major playoff game, which would be with Oakland. Or not Oakland, Vegas.
With the Raiders.
With the Raiders, yeah.
Make it interesting around here, that's for sure.
I think that would be...
Especially when he would face a Michigan Wolverine in Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be Wolverine against Wolverine.
The battle of the Wolverines. And the Wolverine blood that Russell Wilson
with the Wolverine
There's
blood.
There's Wolverines everywhere. So
they're scratching.
It's all. This is the drive on the fan.
Bring it.
It's the drive with Super Bowl 50 champion Derek Wolfe and D-Mac on Denver's sports station 104.3 The Fan. Let's go, dance floor pro.
I know you know I go psycho when my. I mean, 15.
All right, if you say so.
You insist.
If you insist, fine.
Our guy Bednar about Georgie.
Well, it's a big one for me because, like, he kind of, I don't want to say stole us the game, you know, like it was pretty even for a while, but I didn't love our performance as a team, and he was the one that was able to secure the win for us. You know, like they make a push down 3-1 and we didn't handle it real well in a bunch of different areas, and he was able to make the big saves when we needed him. He was good tonight.
Scrappy Will Peterson from DenverSports.com. They won the game, didn't they, Will? Last time I checked, they did win the game.
Hey, he's not talking that bad. He didn't like the way they performed. They didn't perform at a championship level, and that's all he's trying to say.
Hey, listen, you win 3-2 to win your sixth in a row, and they got back to third place in the Central Division, so they're no longer in the wild card mix, but that's by a single point, so that could change. But six in a row, and D-Mac, we talked about the eight games before the All-Star break. Well, they have a chance to go a perfect 8-0 because they play a bad Anaheim team and then a St. Louis team that is struggling, so... I get that Bednar's a little grumpy, but, man, that championship standard is back because six in a row after where they were, I'd be pretty darn happy.
No, I like it, actually. I was surprised by it, but I like it. I'm glad he said it.
I love that he didn't, like, let his ego take over and start talking about how he's, you know, because he is the... Now is undeniably one of the greatest coaches ever.
Oh, he was just happy to get it done.
I don't know. I'm glad it's here and gone so we can stop talking about it.
That's how he is.
Yeah.
But that's the...
And players react well to a coach like that.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, how concerned are we about Kale McCarr right now?
Well, at this point, I don't know if you'll see him before the All-Star break, right? Because if he takes the next two off, you get an extra 7-8 days because of the break. And I know he said he's going to play in the All-Star game, but that can change. So at this point, maybe just give him the next two off, give him the All-Star break off, and then he's looking at, what, 2.5 weeks of time off the ice? For a guy that was playing 30-plus minutes a night, that may not be the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, that's really smart.
I get it. I follow you that. I think it would be different if they were struggling or whatever, but they kind of did what they needed to do, Will, after losing to Chicago. They've already kind of done it. They've got 12 out of 16 possible points. I'd say that's a pretty big success, period.
And that was the team meeting post-Chicago.
That's post. Well, Yep. No, you're right.
The pushback practice, they had a little team meeting, did a little powwow, a little soul-searching. And look, they all knew that they had to do something.
Will, should we circle that game as the turning point of the season?
Oh, I think so, without a doubt. They've stacked enough wins in a row now that it clearly something changed that day, that January 13th over at Family Sports. I've joked before, they don't run on Nathaniel Hackett time. They run on time. So for them to be that late, clearly something was going on. And now that they've won this six in a row, and like I said, two relatively easy ones before the All-Star break, there's still a lot of hockey left. You can start thinking about catching Winnipeg. You can start thinking about catching Dallas. Hopefully it's no longer are they going to have to scratch and claw to get into the playoffs. Now it can be about climbing up in that Central Division and getting the best seed possible.
Thank you, Scrappy. We'll read the latest about it at denversports.com for the coverage of the Avalanche. They got the Ducks, and then they got the Blues, and then they got a break. And, you know, it's coming at the right time, so it's feeling good. Meanwhile, the Nuggets have a game against Milwaukee tonight, and basically everybody is on the injury list. We'll keep tabs in terms of who's really playing, who's not. But KCP, Jamal, Bones, Jokic, Michael Porter Jr. is not even there dealing with his family issues. This is setting up for a game to, you know, I don't know, back-to-back. This is one that you don't necessarily care about. We'll catch up.
Let's not play somebody that's got a little injury and turn it into something bigger when it's not a... How important is this game, really?
It's not.
Exactly.
It really isn't. And the Nuggets are starting to stretch their game and lead in the West as well. So, listen, man, I don't...
Well, have they... Am I wrong, but have they not beaten every team at least once in the West?
They've taken care of everybody. And this team's in a different conference anyway, so who cares?
I know. So it's...
No, it was much
more... It makes no sense to get somebody more injured.
No doubt. It was much more important. Much more important to put a little distance between themselves and New Orleans in the same division than, you know, whatever with Giannis. Who cares? But that's what's going on tonight. Meanwhile, Mel Kiper's first mock draft and the latest in the Broncos coaching search comes up with Football at Four next.
What's up, guys? Derek Wolf here. If you're trying to plan out your holiday feast this year, I've got the plan for you. Bison meat. For my friends at Great Range Premium Bison. Bison meat will add a unique flavor to everything from your holiday meals to your tailgate chili, and it's healthier than other red meats, too. It's flavorful, clean, and hearty, with some nice, sweet-tasting undertones. I'm telling you guys, once you try it, you'll be hooked. Plus, you can check out tons of awesome recipes at GreatRangeBison.com. So pick some up today at your local grocery store. Trust me, you'll love the taste of Great Range Premium Bison this holiday season.